to our moderator, Brother Holmes, to our president, our leader, Reverend Bowie, to all of the pastors, ministers, Christian sisters, brothers, and friends. We greet you in the name of our Christ. We come tonight to share, not to preach. We just come to share. I always thought that word alternate meant you was pretty safe. But we are going to say a word or two and pray that the Lord will sanction what he has given us to say. I'm not at all excited anymore about having folk holler amen, shouting and slinging. Nah. I just want to do God's will. As I get older, I find out that I can't run as fast as I used to. I used to think I could outrun the devil. But I found out that I can't run fast enough. Now do I know where to go to get away from him, so I just want to do God's will. Now, don't think at all that I'm going to hurry up and sit down, because I'm not. I'm not going to sit down until I've said what the Lord wants me to say. I often say that because people say, well, I wish you'd hurry up and sit down. Well, I don't want to hurry up and sit down if it's before I've said what the Lord told me to say. Now, I am conscious of the fact that we are all tired. We all worked today, didn't we? And we want to go home and go to bed. And we're going to be as brief as the Lord will allow us to be. First, I think it would be good if we could just sing something. I don't know. I have one of the best organists in Central Illinois, but whenever I get what that is, I just got to sing something. Me and Danny always was good together. I don't know if it was just Danny making me sound like I was good. I got to say something. I thought about a story that they told about a preacher that was just out of the South. He was pastoring a church in the North, and the people were really giving him the devil. Nobody would do nothing. He was saying all of the time that he was just wondering what the Lord wanted him to do. One of the deacons was going to go car shopping, and he wanted to get another car, and he came by and he told the preacher that, "I'm going down the car lot. I want to see if I can find me another car." And the preacher bidded him Godspeed, so he left going to find the car. So when he came back home in the evening, the preacher said, "Well, Sadiq, did you find the car you wanted?" He said, "No, Rev." He said, "I tell you what," he said, "I changed my mind. I got to think about our church, and I bought a conversion van." And the preacher said, "Well, a conversion van?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, bring it on all over here, because all these folks need to be converted." So I think anymore when I stand before the people that we call Christian, I think we need a conversion van. Amen. Now, before I finish up, I'm going to say a few things, because I don't mean to be long tonight, but I want to say what I have to say.
All right, please. All right.
I thought about another story I heard the fella say. Every year his mom would always look forward to a Mother's Day present. And so the young man was away in another city, and he had just every year he had given her everything he could think of. He couldn't think of nothing else. And being in a foreign country, he came across two very beautiful exotic birds. And he purchased those birds and sent them home to Mama for Mother's Day. About a week later, he called and he said, Mama, he said, how did you like your Mother's Day present this year? She said, oh, son, said, I enjoyed it. She said, now, wait a minute, Mama. You didn't cook those birds. Said, well, I enjoyed them. He said, now, Mama, I paid $750 a piece for them birds. Said, those are exotic birds. He said, those birds spoke seven different languages. And she finally wound up, she said, well, look like they ought to say something. So it seemed like to me, as we stand before God's people, we ought to say something. Amen. I've had some good days, and I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and lonely nights, but as I look around and think things over, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. Now sometimes my clouds hang low. Y'all can hear me if you want. And I can't see the road. I just ask this question, love. Why so much pain? But you know thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will not complain. God has, He's been good to me. Even though my weary eyes still cannot see. And this is what I like about God. He drives I just tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you help me tell him that? Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has. He's been real good to me. Even though my weary eyes just can't see. He drives all my fears away. You ever had midnight? Turn my midnight yesterday. I just tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Come, dear God, right now. We come leaning and depending on you. We realize, dear God, that if you don't favor us with your presence, we can't preach your word. For I read just a few moments ago where your word said God is a spirit.
And they that worship must do so in spirit and in truth. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit right now. Oh, God, if your spirit don't come, we can't sing thine song. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord. Close to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to use two verses of scripture from the New Testament. I want to borrow from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. And I want to look at the, I believe I want to look at the 11th verse of that chapter. Wait a minute, I want to get it right here. Amen. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. I'm talking Ephesians rather than Galatians. Please forgive me. Ephesians chapter 6 and the 12th verse. And then I want to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to look at the... I got my scriptures all mixed up here, but we're going to get together in a minute. Mark chapter 4 and verse 7. Mark chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Man, these two passages of scripture we shall read in your hearing. Ephesians chapter 6, the 12th verse, rather than 11, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then from the book of Mark, chapter 4, the 7th verse. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Amen. I'd like to talk for just a few minutes. I want to use for a thought tonight, caught in a chokehold. Caught in a chokehold. Now, I know that I'm going to break a few homiletical laws, but that's all right. Y'all don't mind me too. In this world in which we live, one of the most popular scenarios is the sport of athletic games. One of the oldest sports recorded on record is the sport of wrestling. It was mentioned by Paul because he had observed many of the Roman festivities, and he saw them wrestling with the skills of trying to take one another to the ground or trying to force one another into submission. And so in utilizing this text in Ephesians, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word Paul used here, wrestle, comes from an English word which means to twist or turn violently. But where Paul's speaking here, he used the Greek word
pale, a palo, which means conflict or struggle.
All right. Yes, sir. All right.
In the game of wrestling, there are legitimate holds. You know.
All right. Yes.
You can catch a guy in a headlock. You can grab him and hold him in a wrist lock, rib cock. You can get him in what they call the figure four leg lock.
Yeah. All right.
You can also catch him and put what they call a full Nelson on him.
Yeah.
That's when they get behind and run their arms underneath and bend his head forward.
Right.
And that's a difficult hold to get out of.
All right.
Now, because of the game of fairness in wrestling, there are certain holds that are not allowed. First of all, to grab a guy in the eyes and just gouge it, that's illegal. You can be disqualified for that. And not only that, but one of the most forbidden holds in professional or amateur wrestling today is the chokehold. They don't allow you to grab a man around the throat. You get disqualified. They count you out in hell.
All right.
Because that is a hold that is very deadly. It's not only subject to force the guy into submission,
yes,
but it might kill him.
Yes, all right.
And nobody wants to be caught in a chokehold.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
It is common to see a wrestler use every trick in the book to force his opponent into submission.
Right. Yeah.
But if he has in mind the fairness of the game, you will never see him holding someone by the throat or grabbing him in a chokehold to force him into submission.
Yeah. Right.
Because he knows by so doing, he's subject to be disqualified and lose the match anyway.
Yeah.
Well, then Jesus in his text, and I talked with Mr. Barnes about this. That's why I said I'm gonna break a few homiletical laws. I talked to Mr. Barnes about this, and he said, if you're going to talk or preach from this parable, you need to determine the whole parable as the preaching post. But I disagree with Mr. Barnes. I think God can say whatever He wants with just one verse. And so I want to use just one verse. I don't want to consider the whole parable. I just want to use one verse.
Come on.
And I want to talk about as Jesus said, as the word was sown, some fell among the thorns.
Yes, yes.
Now you got to keep in mind that He said the thorn grew,
yes,
and choked the word, and the word yielded no fruit.
Right.
Now, brother, I'd like for us to look at the church today.
Right.
I dare you to look at it. I'm not talking about Hopewell. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about the church at large. Look at the church at large, and you will agree with me that somebody got us in a chokehold.
Right.
We're unfruitful.
Right.
We're unfruitful. We're not producing anything, and that which we are producing.
Yes.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes.
That which we are producing is people who claim to know Christ, who have no conviction, who have no biblical fathers concern for knowing who God is.
Right.
Somebody got us in a chokehold up here. And you know, when you're in a chokehold,
well, I
don't know. I talk about this because I have what they have call a hernia.
Uh-huh.
You know, and maybe some of you done had to deal with that, but I have what they call a hernia. And if I eat the wrong thing, then boy,
okay.
I don't see nobody.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel nobody's hands around my throat, but I can feel it choking to me.
Yes,
I think that's choking, and I can't see no hands. And I go back to what Paul said, this wrestling is not with flesh and blood.
Yes,
yeah. if somebody like Brother Cross had me in a chokehold, and I could look at it,
yeah.
I could figure out some maneuver possibly to get out of the hole, but
But when you can't see, when you can't see him, you can't see what move he's making. You don't know where he's standing. You don't know where to lash out because you can't see him.
The word of God, the Bible said, is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And yet at the same time, something has in a chokehold.
I know it's talking about the word, but if you're a child of God, that word has been sown in your heart. And you ought to be a product of fruitfulness.
I'm not gonna be wrong. I'm talking about caught in a chokehold. Now, if you know the church today, you have a whole lot of folk who talk about how good God is. They talk. They love to. We love to talk about how good God is and what God is doing for us.
But God has given us a divine mandate. He said to us, "Go ye therefore and make disciples."
We're the chokehold, I tell you.
We're not making any disciples. The church is not developing. In fact,
what we call growing churches, I'm ashamed of. Did y'all hear what I was just talking to my moderator a couple days ago, and I was telling him, I said, how come soon as y'all, the Lord bless you, to put some new paint on and throw a few bricks on the side of the wall, the same church, I want you to hear me now, same little group of people, no more holy than they ever been, but it becomes greater.
As soon as the Lord bless us to put some new paint on, we ain't got no more folk, we ain't producing no more folk, it become greater Hopewell Baptist. I hear a whole lot of us talking about advancing the kingdom of God. You can't advance the kingdom. The kingdom is to be received, not advanced. Did y'all hear what I said? I'm talking about caught in a chokehold. We're not moving in production because we are choked to death with the cares.
My Lord. Yes,
sir. Right. Well, I would be there tonight, but I got to go to work.
And my members, sometimes they forget that me and the farmer and that caterpillar are pretty good friends.
And they said, well, I got to go to work today.
I said, don't tell me that lie. You told the man you wanted to work to get the overtime.
You didn't have to go.
All right,
you went because the overtime was priority over your edification. I'm talking about caught in the chokehold. And the reason that we allow the world to be squeezing in on us, choking the life out of us, is because we learn that the world has some good things. The world has some good things. And don't get me wrong. I agree. The world has some good things. But everything, and I want you to get this clear, everything the world has to offer us is a perishing product. See, y'all hear me? Everything. You might get that big fine house out on the lake, but it's a perishing commodity. That's why. And we're struggling trying to get everything we can on earth.
But Jesus says that as a result of the thorn growing up, they choked away, they squeezed the life out of the way. Now, what happens is that we put more emphasis upon. Did y'all hear me? We put more emphasis upon what we got on than who we're going to meet. Did y'all hear what I said?
Well, Reverend, I was coming to church Sunday, but I forgot to get my favorite suit out the cleaner. We need to put God way as priority in our lives and move when the way that moves.
I know y'all don't mind. You know, I got a big mouth.
I'm talking about caught in a chokehold. And when you get caught in a chokehold and you can't see who's choking you, you will never discover how to get out. Something holds you. You can't get out of a hold. You don't know what's got a hold you.
And that's why I'm always on my choir about they sing that song about something got a hold of me. If you don't know what it was, you in trouble. Huh?
I went to the sanctum. Something got a whole lot of something that said. What was it that got a hold of you? What is the word of God that said you?
I'm talking about caught in a chokehold. And we're so caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses. Hold on. Christ talked about there's some suffering in this thing of salvation. There's some suffering. But what we call suffering is not suffering for Christ. Did y'all hear me? Now let me illustrate what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Now, brother Jackson, he went out and bought him a long Lincoln. Now, I'm just making an illustration. And I know, I want you to hear me now. I know Brother Jackson is a professor at the university. And they don't profess for nothing. They get paid good. Now, here I am. I want you to hear me. Here I am. Come on here. Here I am with not enough money to buy me a place to sleep one night. And I'm going to get some food to run and get me a Lincoln. Yes, you go suffer, but it's not going to call the price. You suffering because your eyes. Your eyes got the best of it. But let me show you what it means to suffer for the cause of Christ. You remember Paul when he was en route to Damascus. I'm going to be through in just a few minutes. I know y'all get tired. But en route to Damascus, Paul, then known as Saul of Tarsus, the Bible says he had a letter of authority. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest and bring Christians back bound. Anybody that says Jesus was on the arrest. But on his way, he got arrested himself. Jesus arrested him.
All right.
A bright light, the book says, shine. The book says, flat out and said, now, what do you want me to do? I think that's a good question for a special preacher. Anytime you stand before God's people, you're asking us, what do you want me to do? God said, what do you want me to do? And, and the Lord said, get up and go to the master where you start. He said, I ain't going to do it. I'm just going to change your agenda.
Yeah.
All right. You was going to persecute. I'm going to make you push in
Yeah.
And when he got there, blinded from the brightness of the light, he walked in. Ananias came in and spoke to him, Brother Saul, and the scales, the book said, fell from his eyes.
Right.
And from that day, he became a sufferer. You don't hear me. Going to persecute God's people, and God arrested him, and now he is arrested and under persecution himself.
Yes, sir.
That's what you call suffering for Christ.
Something so that they had plotted to kill him.
Yes,
and some brethren.
Yes, sir.
And you know that's what I like about serving the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of us think you can't serve unless you're in a big position.
Uh-huh.
But I want you to look at these brothers.
Oh, yeah.
These brothers saw God working in Saul, and they got a basket and put him in a basket and let him over the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the last thing the Bible said about it. That's all the Bible said about it.
Yes, sir.
You know, we couldn't handle that.
Man, I got something. You ought to tell me something.
Yeah.
I'm talking about caught the choke.
Yeah.
And Paul became a sufferer for the Lord.
Yeah.
And here in Galatians, I hear him say, I bear his
lumber.
Mom!
Oh,
what Paul was saying, I've been in the chokehold a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about through, y'all. I'm about through.
Uh-huh.
Keep in mind that we cannot allow the cares of this life to rob us of our power.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear me? Y'all know what power is, don't you? It's in the Word. See, the power is in the Word. And Jesus was talking about the Word being sown, and the sown choked. The power's in the Word. Now, it tells me one thing, and I'm going to let you go. If the power's in the Word, and the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, then something is wrong because it ain't doing no cutting.
Yeah.
All right,
yes,
sir.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir.
So then Paul talks about making the Word of God of none effect.
Yes, sir.
Now, how in the world can you take a powerful word of God and make it to none effect? I wonder how can you do that, Brother Jack? How can you do that? Well, the Bible says that the word of God has within it the power to save the whole world.
Yeah.
Hmm? You remember that leopard that came running to Jesus and he said, if you will.
Yeah.
He said, you can make me clean.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus,
yeah.
The book said, Jesus moved with compassion. I will, man, be clean.
Uh-huh.
And guess what happened?
Yeah.
The Bible said he reached out his hand and he touched it.
Yeah.
Now, you got to keep in mind, it wasn't the touch that done the work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you looking with me?
Right.
It wasn't touch. But the book said, as he reached out and touched him, he said, I will be given the word.
Yes.
Right. Because he touched us as soon as he has
spoken. Yes.
Yes, sir.
So the power is in the word.
Yes.
And we've got to bring the word home to God's church.
Yes.
And when we bring the word home, we got to understand that the word can't be watered down.
Yes, sir.
Preacher now scared to say something about a dust because he's sleeping with somebody.
All right.
Scared to say anything about fornication? I had one preacher told me, he said, I'm single. I can do whatever I wanted to. I said, what the hell are you going to do with fornication?
Now, you can't do whatever you want to. I'm telling you, ain't got no wife. God put the same emphasis up on fornication as he did a doctor.
Just because you single, you can't run out and jump into every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
And that's why the word has been choked to death.
Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Your body.
Yes, sir.
Paul said your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And some of you go down to the bathroom and somebody done made a mistake and wee-weed on the floor.
Yes.
Come back up. Rather that bathroom is filth.
Y'all ought to do something about it.
Well, if you don't want to be in no filth, what makes you think the Holy Spirit want to be in it?
All right,
guys. All right. You got the sin of covetousness in your heart. That is your God.
in its chokehold. Word can't be a factor in the call from which it came.
Yes, sir.
I'm about through now.
All right.
I'm wrapping this up now.
Amen.
All
right.
If we learned that the word has the power, and the word says that we are to be fruitful. Am I right?
Yes.
The book says we are to be producing fruit for the master.
Yes.
I heard Reverend Bull tell a story once. I think it fit good right here. He told a story about this fellow who went out and left his cup factory under the hand of his farmer. And Reverend Bull was talking about, said his fellow went and said, we come back, the guy had done painted the place. And you do remember that story. Had done painted the place and put in new equipment and everything. And finally, the fellow come back and said, how many cups you make? He said, Austin, look at him, man. He said, we've done all this. He said, no. How many cups did you make?
All right.
So the officer, we painted this, man. He said, we put in new. He said, but how many cups you make? My dear, when Christ comes back, he don't want to know from us. How many disciples did you make? Well, we just built a brand new factory. How many disciples have you made? We just rolled that cross. How big is disciples? That's what he's going to want to know. Have you been about what I told you to be about? When he come again, he's not going to want to know how many new choir robes you bought. He's going to want to know how many disciples have you made. And you got to get that fleshly self out of the way. One thing I ever, and this is a marvelous passage. Let me shut this up because I keep on saying I'm going to quit. This is a marvelous passage found in Matthew 4. Where Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Now I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, I say get this. And the Bible says Jesus was there 40 days. That's what it says. And the devil came to him. That's what I said. Now, he didn't say he went to the devil. He said the devil came, and he's going to come to you too. He came to him, and because he knew of Jesus' fleshly, he knew of Jesus' fleshly desire and condition. He said, now, I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. Hey, those are natural urges. It's natural for a man to get hungry. And Jesus had been out there 40 days. You know he was hungry.
All right.
When I come home from work or church, wherever Miss Jeffro get it on the table, I'm hungry.
Yes, sir.
Now you know Jesus has been out there 40 days.
Yes,
sir. Those are natural urges. Natural for a man to be hungry after that long time. And the devil said, well, since you're hungry.
Yes.
So now what you ought to do is satisfy your natural urges. He said, what you ought to do is turn them stone to bread. And Jesus stood still in his trap.
Yes.
And said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What Jesus was saying, I don't want to satisfy my flesh. And that's what we got to learn. Did you hear Jesus say, if any man, and that's woman, boy, girl, will come after me, you got to learn how to deny yourself. You got to learn how to put self in the background. Jesus said to him, said, I don't need to satisfy my natural instinct. Because I don't need to satisfy my natural instincts in order to get the pleasure that I'm going to get.
Right.
You see, now that's what we mess up. We think that in order to have a good time, and I hear my folks talking about it, I don't know I hear them though. Honey, we had a good time last night. You don't have to satisfy your natural urges to have a good time. Did you hear what I said? You can just get somewhere. I talk about when you got the word. You can get somewhere and listen to David saying, my word is a lamp to my feet and a light in your side. Woo!
All right,
you know,
you.
Yes, sir.
That way.
Yes, sir.
In the last of my feet, and we need to get out of this chokehold. And Jesus taught us how to do that. I got to quit. I see y'all getting sleepy.
Take your time.
Yep, Jesus. Yeah, he showed us how to get out of there.
All right.
Bible says that Jesus came up on a man that had been dead for 4 days.
All right.
Y'all ever read that story? Don't lie to me now. If you ain't read it, don't.
Go ahead, Justin.
All right.
Man had been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
And Jesus came.
Uh-huh.
And somebody started reminiscing. Said, well, if you hadn't just been here, that would happen.
Yeah. All right.
And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the resurrection, and I'm the life, though he was dead.
Yes.
If he believe in me, y'all shall he live again.
Yes.
And I heard him, Lord help me tonight.
Yes.
I heard him say, Lord,
yes.
Come on out of there.
Yes.
And Lord, you know, I ain't never understood that, Brother Jackson.
All right.
Because, you know, back then they wound them up in winding cloth. They bound them up, and they look like what we call a mummy.
Yeah.
I don't know how Lazarus got to that door.
All right.
All right, sir.
But somehow.
Yes, sir.
Somehow he said, Lazarus. Yeah. I want you to see the power of the word. Lazarus. Lazarus. Come forth.
Yeah.
And when Lazarus appeared at the grave, Jesus knew that somehow death would get so hope.
Yeah.
I heard him say, cut him on me.
Yes,
cut him on me. And let him go.
Yeah.
Don't you hear Jesus saying, my Lord?
Yeah.
You want to get out of that stronghold.
Yeah.
You better hear Jesus saying, turn him loose.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah.
The devil has got us on this stone.
Yeah.
He's got us in a stronghold.
Yeah.
But thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus would set us free. He has shown us how to get out of the chokehold.
Yeah.
By the way,
Everything
moves.
Yeah.
By the way, everything lives.
Yeah.
By the way, everything dies.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what Jesus can do.
Yeah.
All you got to do
is
hear him say, loose.
Yeah.
The devil got a hold of us. And thank God, Brother Jesus. Jesus has turned him loose.
Yes, sir.
Come on out, turn him loose.
Yeah.
Number one, please, turn him loose.
Yeah. All right,
Jesus. Yeah. As I close tonight, don't let Satan keep us in a chokehold where the word of God is ineffective. And you know, I got to quit. I ain't going no further. Now, that's just about page two. So I'm going to quit before I get to page three so y'all don't get mad at me. But keep in mind that as long as you're in that chokehold position, you can't be effective. Because your resources is cut off. You know, when somebody's choking you, all of the resources of oxygen, it can't get to the brain. And that's what's wrong with us. Our brain ain't working right. Don't let it Satan keep us in that chokehold where the word of God becomes of none effect. Paul says that we're wrestling with an invisible enemy. We're struggling with him because he has us in his choke position. And we can't be effective for God as long as he has us in that choking position. Now, I know I told you, I got to close with this. I know I told you that, in all fairness, no fair wrestler would use that chokehold on another wrestler. But you got to keep in mind, Satan don't wrestle fair. You know, in boxing, when you punching and you may duke the guy out, but when the bell rang, no more hitting. Satan will hit you after the bell rang. The bell rang, don't you go to no security, because Satan will swing on you, you hear me?
And he will grab you in that filth hole because he's not concerned about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he'll get you in that chokehold and have you doing everything thinking you're doing what God wants. And I heard Brother Hubbard preach a sermon just a few Sundays ago talking about going to hell through the church. That's exactly where we headed unless we get out of this chokehold. God bless you tonight. May heaven make his face shine. But we hope that somehow. Somehow you can grasp the urgency of getting loose from this chokehold of Satan. We can't be effective. Every church I go to, I'm really disturbed. My heart burns because I see the same little group of people that I've been looking at for 20 years. No new faces. Well, that's the way it is productive. We build churches so we can look good. But I think we ought to feel less before we build a message. Don't you?
Well, if you're doing what God says, and the word is effective, and it ought to be, you're going to need a bigger bill.
But as long as you're in the chokehold, all you're going to have is that female handful around there raising hell every Sunday. God bless us tonight. Let us see the urgency of getting out from under the control of Satan. That's all that chokehold is. And get about our Father's business. Doing what God wants to do. What God wants us to do. And in so doing, we will become productive servants, yielding fruit, some 60, some 30, and some 100. And I believe we go even further than that. If we come out from under the control of Satan, let us pray. Father God, we come now to thank you for what you've allowed us to say. Pray now, God, that if we said anything that you didn't want us to say, please forgive us. Dear God, if we failed to say anything that you wanted us to say, give us another chance. Oh, God, guide us and help us to stand firm, knowing that somehow, some way, you're still in control. You still got it all under the palm of your hand. You know just when to move, and we ask now, dear God, that you use us now. Continue to bless us and keep our minds active that we might know the presence of the evil one. Walk with us and talk with us and can remind us every now and then that we belong to you. And when it's all over, dear God, when we preached our last sermon, when we sung our last song, we got to stand before the judgment council. We want to hear you say, servant, well done. We don't want to hear you say, depart, I never know you. Until that day comes. Grant us these blessings. We're going to be sure enough careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the mighty, miraculous name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.